Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to move right on. 805. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1009. All right, so we're going to stick with the Mets here. I'll continue to take your calls, but just quick on Pete, because I don't know how you don't sign him now. And here's the problem, right? You've put yourself, and this is why the Mets played this completely wrong. The Mets played this completely wrong because losing Diaz to that contract to the Dodgers has now put them in a position where it's, for the fan base, it's going to be damn near impossible to lose Pete. And today's news didn't help them. As Kyle Schwarber signs a 5-year, $150 million contract at 30 per for five for a player who's 2 years older, for a player who only DHs. Now, I think the Mets would like to have Pete be the main DH with the way they're looking right now, although then what do you do with Vientos if you don't move him? I still think he can play first. I don't think he's an absolute killer. And now especially you've put Semien at second base to make him a better defensive player, because what's his issues, right? His issue is probably his range and his throwing, particularly to first base with the pitcher. So you tell him, listen, we got Semien over here now. Don't range. Balls hit to your right, you go to the bag. Plain and simple. You put an excellent defensive second baseman next to him, you make him a better defensive first baseman, and you know he's good with the picking the ball out of the dirt. So, but here's the thing now. It is reported that the Mets are hung up on 3 years for Pete and don't want to go over 3 years to Pete. And now there were a bunch of teams in on Schwarber. Now, are the Pittsburgh Pirates a real threat? Was that a real offer for Schwarber? Did they think he was going to pick the Pittsburgh Pirates? Like, is that a legitimate, like, are they going to now turn their attention and offer Pete Alonso 5 years? Or because apparently they matched. Now, Baltimore matched. They're a team you could see try and get Pete over there. They need some power. They've moved in the fences, like out and left. Like, I could see them being in on Pete. Kyle Schwarber just got 5 years. Five. Now, he finished third in the MVP. He had an incredible season. Is he better than Pete Alonso? I mean, I don't know. You could certainly argue it. I view them as very similar players. Schwarber's a little bit more dangerous, particularly when he's like scorching hot. But, I mean, Pete's pretty much the same player. And he's younger. And Boris is out there talking about, well, if a player 2 years older can get a 5-year deal, how the hell can a player 2 years younger not get a 5-year deal? That just helped him. Losing Schwarber, leaving for a 5-year deal, and the teams that fell out of his favor and are now standing there looking to sign a similar player, whether it be the Baltimore Orioles, who I think are absolutely a threat now, or the Boston Red Sox, who've been talking about Pete for a while. Like, you know, he's driving to Orlando right now. Or he's probably there already. How do you lose Pete now? How do you not give him at least that fourth year to be an olive branch if Pete wants to come back? Like, this is, and if you don't sign Pete and you don't bring back Diaz, what are you telling the fan base about this team? Like, how do you replace both? I could make a case, we talked about it, for replacing Pete, defense, and run prevention. How do you replace both of them? How do you replace both of them? And now doing it without Schwarber. I thought Schwarber was going to get a 3 or 4 year deal. He got the fifth. How can the Mets stand there and tell you, well, we didn't want to do more than three for Pete? The owner, I mean, he has to step up. And what about these last couple years? Like, so what if Pete's contract sucks? You're Steve Cohen. The money's going to kick in from the casino, right? Oh, he's got the casino coming, the money coming. This is all the reasons why he's the richest owner in baseball, and it's going to continue to get better. And once that casino gets built, watch out. They're opening it in 30. This is what we're talking about. Why are these last 2 years for Pete such a detriment to this team? Why were the last 2 years of Nimmo such a detriment to this team? Like, I get it. Those probably aren't going to be good years. But this is the price, this is the cost of business. This is the cost of business. And we just had a bunch of callers talk about how how David Stearns wants to run it like Milwaukee. This is their thought process. You can't do only smart moves. And this has been my defense of Brian Cashman for a long time. And he has an owner right now that's at least putting a clamp on the money at some point where you wouldn't think Steve Cohen would. But as the New York Yankees, as the New York Mets now, if they want to get into the same realm, you can't sit idly by and do nothing. When the MVP, Giancarlo Stanton, gets offered to you for nothing but money and Sterling Castro, you say yes because you're the Yankees. Even if it hurts you in 3 or 4 years, you say yes because that's the price of business and you're trying to win a championship. Like, you have to go out there and make moves. You have to go out there and spend money. You can't sit. You have to go out and do things that make you uncomfortable on some level. And David Stearns is not going to be able to operate as the general manager of the New York Mets without ever doing something that makes him uncomfortable. And Pete at 5, I get it, makes you uncomfortable. But if that's the market, tough. Last year, you were able to play it. You nailed it. Nobody wanted him with the picks they were going to have to give up when they signed him. You had no one in the market. You got a one-year, $30 million deal. Fantastic. Good for you. If the Baltimore Orioles come a-knocking at 5 for close to this, you're going to just dismiss it and go, sorry, we believe 3 years, Pete. That's it. I mean, a previous caller talked about, you know, attacking and raising your voice. Evan mentioned it the fan base is going to be furious. And rightfully so. And rightfully so. Unless you pivot and go give, like, if you don't want to give Pete, if you don't want to give Pete 5, you're going to go give Kyle Tucker 10? Really? You're going to go give Bellinger 7? Like, where are you pivoting where it's less uncomfortable? I don't get it. I don't get it. If the next thing we hear is that Pete Alonso is going to Baltimore for 5-130, that's a real problem. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Carlos in Orlando. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I have a couple of questions. I'm good. Hanging in. It's a little cold over here. I have a couple of questions.
It's cold in Orlando? What's the temperature in Orlando right now?
In the 50s.
Around 50?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to go drop down. So I have a couple of questions in regards to Diaz and Alonso. What's more impactful, Diaz leaving or DeGrom leaving?
I think what's more impactful, Diaz or DeGrom leaving? That's a good question. Obviously, one's a homegrown Met, one's not. won two Cy Youngs with you and was, in my estimation, and people get mad when I say this too, I don't know if I've ever seen a better pitcher than Jacob DeGrom in his prime. That might be the best. That might be the best we've ever seen of pitching, the art form of pitching. That's how dominant he was. I mean, he gave up two runs, and you were like, "What? What do you mean he gave up two runs? That's weird. Everything all right? Not a great outing for Jake. You would say that if he gave up two runs in six innings. Not a great outing for Jake. Like, he was incredible. They would have that graphic where it'd be like, how many fastballs over 100 miles an hour for the season? And it'd be like, Verlander has thrown 32 fastballs over 100 miles an hour. This one's thrown, you know, Chapman has thrown 35 fastballs over 100 miles an hour. Jacob DeGrom has thrown 117. Like, it was like, what? Like, it was crazy. Every fastball was over 100 miles an hour at one point. I think it ended up hurting him, but, and he's toned it down and still pitched great last year. But, he turns around and wins a championship with Texas, although he didn't pitch. Remember that when everyone was like, yeah, this is different. Diaz is going to the Dodgers, right? He was going to the Texas Rangers where nobody thought he was a threat. In fact, the talk that night on SNY was, good luck, you loser, going to pitch for those loser Texas Rangers. You gave up the Mets and you gave up winning to go pitch for the lousy Texas Rangers. That was the overall thought. And they turn around and win a championship without him. Again, tell me, there's no such thing as crapshoot in baseball? Nah. I mean, the 2023 Texas Rangers aren't a crapshoot at all. No. I mean, the best players of that postseason run have been cut now because they can't hit. But no. I mean, that's crazy. What do you mean? There's no such thing as a crapshoot? No. No. I mean, you know, Montgomery was ace down the stretch and pitched him and just couldn't, you know, he was a force throughout that entire postseason run. And I'm not sure he's gotten anybody out since, but no. That wasn't a crapshoot. What are you talking about? There's no such thing as crapshoots.
Josh Young and Evan Carter are like out of the league.
Yeah, no, I know. Adolis Garcia couldn't get out. And now nobody wants him. They cut him 2 years later. But no. Chris, there's no such thing as crapshoot. Stop it now. Making excuses for the New York Yankees. No, I'm not. Talking reality. Speaking of the Yankees, Moose in Jamaica has been on hold. I know we're doing Mets, but Moose has been on hold for a while. What's up, Moose?
First things first.
I pop a freak all the honeys.
What up? What it do? For my Mets fans.
Yes.
My mom's a Mets fan,
mm-hmm.
Right? Sometimes when the Yankees aren't playing or their game is over, I'll call my mom on FaceTime. We'll watch the Mets game together.
Mm-hmm.
That's Edwin Diaz. She knows how good he is, even though she doesn't know much about baseball. So, for Mets fans, because you share a special space in my heart. Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. To sympathize with the loss.
Not bad.
You know, not showing
the
spite that most Yankee fans would in this situation.
No, not at all.
And for Cashman and the Yankees, do whatever it takes. If you need to add a third team, a fourth team, if the Padres get a haul, the Padres are looking to shed salary. They have to sell the team.
Yeah.
They're in the financial strength, right? Give them a haul and include a third team. Include whatever contracts. Get Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis on this team. Let's stop messing around.
You want both? Yeah. Look, I there have been reports as of late that Tatis is more on the table than we thought. They need to shed payroll, I suppose. And if they can't move the Machado contract or they can't move the Xander Bogaerts contract, maybe they're forced to move Tatis and get rid of some of that money. But for me, that's an interesting, like, I know you're selling the team, but what does that mean? Strip every good player? Like, he's a young kid on a big-time contract, no doubt, but it's not a crazy contract for the kind of player he is. Like, that would feel more of an asset than a depreciating asset to me, as far as, like, looking at the new ownership group and you want to say, you know, well, you don't have this albatross, you don't have that albatross. I don't view Tatis as an albatross. So I'm surprised if they would look to move him. But if they did, I would be into it. I don't know about him and Machado. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, if theoretically, would they be willing to take back McMahon just to take some of the money back and you could play Machado? Like, look, if they get Machado and Fernando Tatis, you know, we're all going crazy. Do it right now, the show changes. So, like, I hear you, but I don't expect it. I'll tell you the guy I would really be interested in. Now, I know he's probably not going to want to move positions, whatever, but, like, if Ketel Marte is available, and it sounds like he could be available, and I know he's, you know, had a little bit of an issue as far as being a teammate there, not the most popular guy in the clubhouse. There's been some issues, right? Last year, he just didn't show up for a game or something. There was, like, an issue that he wasn't there. I think Aaron Judge is one of those guys where you feel really good about making sure the locker room is good, right? Like, Verdugo came over. I mean, he couldn't hit. Judge couldn't help him hit. But he didn't have any of the same issues that he had in Boston. If he would be willing to play third base, which I have no reason to think he can't play, right? I got to look up if Marte has played a lot of third base or any more third base. But I would be all over that. I switch hitter, right? Like, you can hit right-handed. I got to look at his right-handed numbers. I was going to do Yankees later in the show. But I would be all over that. But the Yankees got to do something. Yankees got to do something. And we'll see. It sounds like the only guy is Jim Bowden, former general manager. He's the one guy who has consistently, on radio shows or wherever, has consistently had this idea that the Yankees are ready to pounce. I don't know where he's getting it from. And he's talking about, well, Cashman's not even hiding it. Cashman's very blatant and upfront about how they're going to be willing to spend. So, like, whenever he's like that, whenever he doesn't try and hide it, you know that he's making moves. And I'm like, or whenever he's not downplaying it. So whenever he doesn't downplay it, you can expect moves. And I'm like, really? I don't know about you. I feel like Brian Cashman's been downplaying everything. I mean, he literally went on the Yes Network and was like, I think we have a really good team. Anthony Volpe's going to have a really good year. We love McMahon. You know, Jazz, the infield's really set. We could use an outfield piece, but I feel like Brian Cashman's been downplaying everything. I'll be totally honest with you. Not that I ever have a great feel, but I have no feel of what the Yankees are going to do. My guess is, and we're going to get right back to the Met calls. I got a Yankee call in there. As far as free agency goes, and I do want to talk about Carlos Rodon and the report from Joel Sherman that by the end of the season he could barely, you know, straighten out his arm. I think the only free agent of any significance they will sign is Bellinger. And I mean, I'm not even saying they will sign him. I'm saying I think that is the only player in free agency that is on their radar and that they would like to sign. If they don't sign him, they're not pivoting to Tucker. Like, if they lose out on Bellinger, expect trades to either they're going to play Dominguez or Spencer Jones in left, or they're going to trade for Donovan, or they're going to trade for someone else. Like, I don't think they're spending big money in free agency on anybody. I don't think they're going to go do it in the starting pitching market. I don't think it's anybody but Bellinger. They will spend on Bellinger if the money is at least reasonable. Outside of that, I don't think that the Yankees are going to buy anybody in free agency. We'll get to we have some Marte numbers. We'll do it when we do Yankees a little bit. I want to get back to the Met calls. Anthony in Keyport. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, Big Mac?
What's up, buddy?
Listen, I'm a huge fan of you and the show, and I hope the no comment news is true.
No comment.
But, embarrassing.
No comment. No comment news. Listen, I'm a huge Met fan, and I understand what you're saying, but I honestly think that the Diaz was on the decline, especially after the injury. He had an okay year last year. I don't think it was the best. You can't just keep running it back every year with the same people. The problem is was Cohen's big mouth saying he wanted a championship within the 5 years, and us Met fans just being like so slap happy that we just want to get it. You know, we got to do different things. When DeGrom left, it was the end of the world. We got some decent young pitchers coming up now, and DeGrom hasn't had the best career with the Rangers so far. He had a good year this year. The Nimmo hurt. My girl's favorite player was Nimmo, but you know, his numbers were declining. Pete, I would like to bring back, but you know, we have another winter classic coming up. Is Diaz going to get hurt again doing something stupid?
That was just bad luck. I mean, you think it's a positive that Diaz is gone?
I think it's a positive. I think Stern knows how to build a team. I just think the Mets fans, including myself, can be very impatient. I like some of the young things, the young talent we have here. We can't keep running back the same play. We keep saying, oh, next year they're going to be this. And then next year we got worse. You know, we got to make some changes.
Diaz hasn't been that guy who's gotten worse. Diaz has been the guy who in 2019 and 2020 wasn't that good. And then really since then, particularly 2022, when he had that great year, he's been great. He's been great. He's not been that guy. He's been great. And you don't have anybody in the bullpen. I don't know how you could see this as a positive. I don't know how you could possibly see this as a positive. Unless your argument is, you know, and a three-year contract to boot. It's a three-year deal. They completely misplayed this. Stearns completely misplayed this. I'm sorry, he did. And I don't want to hear, it didn't matter. I'm getting constant tweets. If they would have offered 69, Dodgers would have went 70. If they would have offered 70, Dodgers would have went 71. Show the dude you love him from the beginning and offer him a four-year contract. Don't play the, hey, we're going to wait and see what the market dictates for you. You played the market game with a team that doesn't have the market. I mean, that's plain and simple. You played the market game with a team that doesn't believe the market exists, and you lost. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Back with more after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're closely monitoring the Orlando Magic versus Miami Heat, 113-102. I mean, look, we'll get to it when the Knicks game ends. I want the Knicks to win every game they play. So, I mean, do I want them to win this cup? I suppose. I mean, I don't want them to lose games. So, I mean, I want them to win. But do I care? Absolutely not. Will the second they lose that game, will I turn it off as if and feel exactly as if they lost a game to the Cleveland Cavaliers in November 100%. It will not bother me one bit. If they lose the game, it would feel like any other regular season loss in December or January. 100, like, there is nothing to it. But I guess I'd rather have them win-lose, and we'll monitor the game, and we'll just talk about the Knicks after the game and see if they are set up to go to Vegas for the tournament, where they will be taking on what looks to be the Orlando Magic, who hold a 11-point lead with a minute and 40 left. Philip in Farmingdale. What's up, Phil?
I have to say something. The Mets have to do something because D. Cone is now on a case on Dave Sturge, I heard. D. Cone's yelling at him, I think.
You think that there's a little trouble in paradise?
Yeah, yeah. The Mets are going to do something. I think they're going to do something, but D. Cone's going to get very tough and say he wants to win, and Stearns is a cheapskater. And I told my girlfriend, she's a Yankee fan, so. Uh-huh. So I hope the Mets do something, Chris. I hope they do something because Sal the Cotter was talking to me, and he said that they got to do something.
Yeah, I mean, I think the opinion is they got to do something. I mean, they got to do something in free agency. They can't just not do anything. Right now, they don't have a team. If a ball was hit to first base, there's no one to stop it. So, like, they got to figure out something. I'm just going to move on from that one. Chris and Beth Page, what's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. I just want to make a point here. I really think it's very hard to see Stearns' plan when you let two of the best relievers over the last 5 years in the National League walk off the team with no other option. Same thing with Alonzo. If you're not going to sign these guys, what's the option? Which then leads me to my point of, I really think Stearns thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and he wants to do the reverse money ball. He wants to go to that big market team, load it with prospects and washed-up veterans, win a championship, and say, look, I had all the money in the world, and I still did it with 50 grand. I think that's what his endgame is.
I don't know. Why would he want – why? Why do that? Why not just stay in Milwaukee if you wanted to do it on $50 million? What proof – what extra benefit do you get from saying, I did it when I could have done it differently? What does that do for you?
Because he does it in New York. So you think everybody – you change the game when, hey, I went to a small market team. I tried something different, and look at the accolades I got. Now, okay, give me all the money in the world. I'm going to show you I'm better than baseball. I don't care what I can do. I'm going to show you I'm better than them.
I don't understand that. Why, if his goal is to win without spending money, stay in Milwaukee. You don't think he'd get praise? I mean, I guess you're right. Winning in New York is different, no doubt. You want to win in New York. But like the idea that he wants to prove he can win with no money, so he went to somewhere with money just to say, ha-ha, I don't need your money, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. You're upset with him today, so you're coming up with this ridiculous storyline that he wanted to go where the money was and say, I don't need your money. Like, I mean, come on. Come on. This is not about that. This is about him having a belief on how what's best for a baseball team. He believes a aging veteran first baseman, as of right now, we don't know. But it sounds like he believes that an aging veteran first baseman who isn't very good defensively, who you're going to have to DH, it's not a smart idea to give him five years at $30 million per. It sounds like his belief is that starting pitchers get hurt, and I don't want to pay free agent starting pitchers over 30 years old long-term deals because those don't work out. That's his belief on what's best for a baseball team. His belief is that relief pitchers are up and down and fickle, and it's not worth giving them, no matter how great they've been for you over the last couple of years, 5 years in big-time money because it hurts you long-term. Those are his beliefs. It's not that he has some sort of design to have nobodies out there and do it for no money and prove that he doesn't need Steve Cohen. You can prove you don't need Steve Cohen without Steve Cohen. Like, it doesn't make any sense. We're overthinking this thing. He has these beliefs. He's got to change them on some level. But, like, I mean, come on. He's not out to prove the baseball world wrong by shoving his nose up at the money that the owner wants to give him. Calvin in Washington Heights. What's up, Calvin?
Hey, good evening, man. I have a quick point. I think that the Mets need to do two things. You got to get a number one and not get number threes. You got to get Peralta. If you can't get Detroit, amazing ace, you got to get Peralta, which is the number one. I hear Ryan. Ryan is not Peralta. Peralta is a top 10 pitcher. Ryan is like a 2 or a 3. Peralta is a 1-1. Or Trey for Sandy Alcantara, which you could have. Of course you know about that. Numbers speak for itself. Check the numbers out. Look at the numbers this year. 200 strikeouts. Look at the numbers before that. Numbers speak for itself. So
I don't know if I view Peralta as a absolute ace of aces.
He's a number one. Ryan is not a number one. Sandy Alcantara is a number one. Ryan is not.
You need to Sandy Alcantara hasn't given you number one numbers for 2 years now.
Or he did in the second half. He fixed his mechanics. Yeah. And you can have him under control for the next 2 years. The second point I wanted to make was...
I'm not saying don't trade for him. I just, again...
And he had a 2.7 ERA in the second half.
You can't get Sandy Alcantara and say, well, I've got my ace now. You can't do that.
Well, you can... You can
bring him in and talk about control, and you hope he becomes that. But, like, if you're looking for an ace to lead the staff, you can't say, well, I'm going to get Sandy Alcantara. I found my ace. Like, that's... He just hasn't been that guy for 2 years.
Okay. The second point I was going to say, Fernando Tatis Jr. will be a great point, a great player to add to the New York Mets. I've been saying this for a while. Not only that Soto and him are very close and et cetera, it's just your defense improved. That's what the Mets believe in preventing runs. He is the best defensive outfielder in the game. And not only that, he's a 5-tool player. Yep. In my point of view, he's a better option than Bellinger as well. He's young. He adds to that lineup, and then you will recover the fan base, and that helps a lot for the team. He will actually waive his no trade clause because he came out and
I think he would waive his no trade clause for a lot of teams. But they got to be willing to trade him. What makes you think they're willing to trade him?
Well.
What
he will waive it. He will also waive it for the Yankees as well. Absolutely. Cause I don't know if you know. They've been announcing a lot of the players that will be participating in the World Baseball Classic, the bench players. Some of them have been announced, and you know he will be participating because it was it's going to be exciting. So
listen, I agree with everything you just said. I got to look at Peralta's numbers again. You could argue he's the ace of a staff. He's the ace of the Brewers staff, but I don't know. Like you said, one of one. I don't view him as like one of the top pitchers, but I would definitely trade for him over signing almost anybody else in free agency. Like I don't disagree. I like Freddie Peralta a lot. This is the only year he hasn't had since, you have to go back to 2021, the last time he had an ERA under 3. Now Joe Ryan hasn't really had an ERA under 3 either, but I mean, this is the only time he's finished in the top 5 Cy Young. It's the only time since 2021 that he's finished with an under 3 ERA. He does strike out a lot of hitters. He's had 200 strikeouts the last 3 years. I mean, last year he pitched like an ace. 17 wins, led the National League. Yeah, I mean, he's an ace. I don't view him as like the top of baseball over the last handful of years, but last year he had a great year. I would rather trade for him. I think he's got one more year of control. I think it's just this year. I'd rather trade for him and then look to sign Skubal next year than I would to sign a Framber Valdez. I mean, Michael King, I like him a lot. He's got great stuff. There's no doubt about it. I just don't know if he's reliable enough. Like, the Mets need a guy in the rotation that you know is going to give you 170 to 200 innings, or close to it, 160 to 190 innings. Michael King just isn't reliable enough to stay healthy. When he pitches, he's great. I would absolutely, there are reports that the Mets are higher on him than anybody else in free agency. And then there's just reports that, David Stearns isn't that interested in starting pitching free agent. And I get it. We can argue all we want, and eventually you're going to have to take the plunge. I don't know if any of these guys are the guys that I would be looking to break my rule on. Like, I just don't view it that way. I know Corbin Burns wasn't that guy for them, but Framber Valdez is? Like, I'd be surprised. I'd just be surprised. And I know Corbin Burns ended up blowing out his arm. That's the point. I would much rather see them go into the trade market. Same thing for the Yankees. Like, the Yankees are I don't think... Ema is a guy. I don't think they're going to go spending. They have so much money invested in that rotation already. They got Cole making a huge contract. They got Max Fried making the most money of any left-handed starting pitching. They got Rodon making big-time money. Like, they got three big contracts in a five-man rotation, theoretically. Like, that's, they're going to add a fourth? I'd be surprised. That's why you're hearing stuff about, like, Mackenzie Gore. You're hearing, like, I think they're in the trade, Alcantara. Like, I definitely think they're out there looking to trade for young starting pitching, without question. I don't know if they'll be able to pull it off, but I think that's much more up the alley of the New York Yankees than signing a free agent starting pitcher and adding a fourth big-time contract to that rotation. I just don't see that happening. I via trade, absolutely, and I think the Mets are better off going via trade as well. Kyle in Smithtown. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's going on, man? Big fan.
Thank you, buddy. What's going on? How are you?
I just want to talk about the Diaz signing today. I had a thought, like, you know, is there a chance that the Devin Williams signing beforehand, the Mets maybe had an idea? Like, I know we're trying to figure out, was there trouble in the locker room? Right. Did he want out of New York? My thing is, if Williams signed before, maybe in their heads, all right, that blow is softer than trying to sign him afterwards and being like, all right, let's replace him, because I feel like there'd be much more uproar from that. But, you know, I was listening to Sal and BT earlier, and, you know, they were talking about how the fans are connected to these guys. That's who they're coming to see. It's like, I feel like this Pete signing is way more important now. You know, he said something about, well, the fans are the fans for a reason, and the GM's the GM, or the Stearns is Stearns for a reason. But, you know, I just feel like the Pete signing for the fans, that's who it's about. That's who it's for. And it's just more important now to try to go out and get this guy Pete now that we lost Diaz, who a lot of people came to see, man. That was a big part of the game for a lot of people coming out to the ballpark.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Evan talked about how his son today was asking about Pete and Diaz and which one was going to be, which one was more likely to sign. And he said he'd rather have Diaz for the trumpets. And without question, I think the trumpets and Diaz, obviously, played a huge role in that great season of 22. Like, when he came out, you knew the game was over. The team felt that vibe. The crowd felt that vibe. And let's be honest, the Met fan is into that. The Met fan, you know, everything that went on last year with Grimace and OMG and all that, like, the Met fans get into that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to come off as a pretentious Yankee fan and say, we don't have things like that. I'm just saying the Met fan gets into it. And I do think that element, I mean, the Yankees got into, Enter Sandman for Mo. It was different. You know, Mo was Mo. I mean, it was more about bringing in Mo than it was about the guy up in the upper deck who used to headbang to it, which I miss that guy. I miss Mo, but I miss that guy. I miss the guy who would, the blonde hair. If you went to Yankee Stadium during the years of Mariano Rivera, you know the guy I'm talking about, the long blonde hair. They would put him on the big screen every time Mo came in, and he would headbang, and that blonde hair would be whipping all over the place. I miss that guy. I wonder what that guy is doing these days. I definitely think that's part of it. I think the element of knowing you have someone at the back end that's as good as anyone in baseball is a significant advantage that you feel and your opponent feels. You better have a lead by the eighth inning in a big game because they have Diaz back there. Plain and simple. Like that is a thing that teams feel, both when it's your team and when you're playing a team like that. Ask Chipper Jones about Mariano Rivera and the difference between the Yankees and the Braves those years. There was one difference. They had Mariano Rivera in the bullpen. That's the biggest difference. That's why they were able to beat the Braves. That's why they were the best team. They had the closer. But as far as what the Williams part of it means, I mean, I don't know. I thought it meant they wanted to build a killer bullpen. That's what I thought it meant. I thought they wanted to have two of the best arms in baseball, theoretically, in the back end of the bullpen and have Devin Williams be your setup man. I thought that's what it was. Now, in hindsight, and the idea that the money was so close and, you know, 3 years to the Dodgers and he didn't return the phone call and all the BS that we've been talking about, could it be they got an idea of that? That at some point during the negotiations with Diaz, whether it's for their own fault and not offering him more or not being more, interested in him and showing him that fourth year, whatever the case, at some point during the negotiations, did they get an idea that Diaz had an inclination of signing elsewhere, or they got some sort of feeling like this isn't going well, so let's make sure we get Devin Williams? Yeah, now that we're looking at it in hindsight, maybe. But I still think they wanted them. I mean, they offered him $66 million. I still think they wanted him. But maybe they had an inkling that he was either pissed off or from the very beginning wanted to be a Dodger. I don't know. And now we're hearing the other reports, obviously, which I haven't mentioned yet, because I don't know. Like, the idea that firing the pitching coach really was a problem for Diaz, or that his brother's brief time with the Dodgers, like, that's the one I really have a tough time with. Are you telling me? Like, let's be totally honest. The Los Angeles Dodgers, who have won two championships in a row, who are the super team of baseball, that Diaz was happy to be a Met until his brother told him, you know, things are pretty good over there. Hey, Edwin, you're not going to believe this, but, like, the spread after games and the facilities, it's unbelievable. And the sunsets, woo, man. You've never seen anything like it. Like, that's that. It, the idea that his brother enjoyed his time with the Dodgers that he's not even with anymore, that was a major working point against the Mets, that his brother told him the Dodgers operation is a good one. I mean, get the hell out of here. I'm sorry. That's absolutely ridiculous. Everybody knows the Dodgers situation's a good one. People are running over their hand. People can't wait to go be a Dodger to win a championship. Edwin Diaz needed to hear from his brother that things are good over there. That one is, I put zero stock into that. Zero. And I know family's family. And I'm not saying he didn't say, hey, they treated me right or whatever. It's not like they kept him. But, like, the idea that, oh, the Dodgers operation's really good. I enjoyed my time there. You should go there. Like, it's the Dodgers. It's not like, hey, you know what? I don't care what people say. I enjoyed my time with the Marlins. It was awesome. You're in Florida. You're in Miami. Like, I thought it was a great time. I'm telling you, if the Marlins offer you money, I wouldn't just turn it down. That's different. Hey, I'm going to tell you the truth, man. The school system in Colorado is incredible. Sorry, that's just another dig at the Mets. I can't help myself. But, like, come on. I don't buy that for a second. I just don't buy it for a second. And I'll tell you this. Let me take a couple calls. We'll get to the Dodgers, too, because I do think there is a specific reason. And I know the Met fan and the Yankee fan are just like, why can't you be the Dodgers? And I get that thought process. But there is a reason. There is one specific reason, let alone the amount of money the Dodgers have. But there is one specific reason that puts them in a different category than the Mets and Yankees. There just is. And even though we don't want to say it, and even though the Mets could still have signed this contract and the Yankees can still go spend more money, there is a reason why they're not the Dodgers. Paul in Westchester. What's up, Paul?
Hi. By the way, I like your Mike Hampton reference.
Yes.
Good job.
Yes.
I'm an old-timer. I'm a 60-year Met fan. Seen a lot of my favorite players come and go, so this is nothing new. But what I'm reacting to is the Days complaining about Stearns. I think people should understand that a man who makes $20 billion is going to know what's going on in his business. And the notion that Cohen really didn't have much to do with this just seems absurd. I don't really understand what his plan is and why during the time they had him exclusively, they didn't lock him up. But they didn't. But I'd like to hear from ownership, what's the vision here? Because right now, the vision's pretty damn cloudy. Sorry, yeah. On the radio. But
pretty damn is pretty tame.
Stearns has taken the heat. But, you know, I think, frankly, you have to look at Steve Cohen. He's the owner, and the idea that he's too busy with his casino, you know, you don't run a $20 billion business if you don't know what's going on.
Oh, no. I mean, yeah. Again, you can be wrong without being a moron. Like, you could be wrong without being in over your head. You can be wrong without being unfit for the job. Like, they handled this poorly, in my estimation. But again, like, let's not jump to they're run by buffoons. We want to do that so badly. Same thing with the Yankee fan. You guys are crazy. You think Brian Cashman's an idiot? You're the idiot. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, people say Brian Cashman, even we were talking about Stearns, he thinks he's the smartest man in the room. I don't know if he's the smartest man in the room, but if it was the room full of me and the callers today, he probably is. Like, let's be honest, he probably is. If it's me and you in the room, then he probably is the smartest man in the room. I know we think we could do better. You couldn't. I can't tell you how many people call me up and go, I could do a better job of running the Yankees with all that money. No, you couldn't. The amount of hubris that some fans have is ridiculous. We talked like Stearns, right? He's been running a team that spends more money than anybody, right? Even higher payroll than the Dodgers, depending on how you look at it. In 2 years, he had an 83-win season and an embarrassing ouster of the playoffs without major injuries, really. I mean, I know, you know, there was some. But they didn't lose Lindor. They didn't lose Soto like the Yankees in 23 lost Judge. Like, I would venture to say in 2 years of trying to do what Brian Cashman has done for 30, he had a worse year than Brian Cashman has ever had, and he was only at it for two. These people aren't stupid. They're not idiots. They make mistakes, and I thought this was a mistake.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt in Westchester, what's up, Matt?
What's up, C-Mac? How we doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. So I'm a diehard Mets fan, and I'm going to take the opposite side from, I think, the majority of other Mets fans and also you, and it's kind of 2 points, if you'll let me make them both.
Sure.
Can you tell me over the last 5 years of the World Series winner who their closers were?
Well, last year was the starting pitcher that became a closer for the Dodgers. The year after that, I mean, the year before that, they also had injuries. That's what's funny about the Dodgers. But, yeah, I understand your point.
But my next point is undoubtedly the Mets are not as good of a baseball team today as they were yesterday. But personally, and I think a lot of Mets fans forget this, if you had asked me after 2019, Diaz's first year, whether he was made for New York or he could cut it or any of those things and he crumbled under pressure in week, I would have said absolutely. The same way what Yankee fans say about Devin Williams. But if you want to get this riled up over a closer, when I can easily see next year Devin Williams having a lower ERA than Edwin Diaz, that's just your choice. And I think if we look at the end of this offseason and the Mets don't have a top-of-the-rotation arm, at least one or two more big bats, we have every right to go after Stearns. But I don't think over a closer when he didn't just settle for like a bargain bin option to theoretically replace him is pointing the sheet in the right place. I think Stern takes a lot of unnecessary heat, and I'd even argue over 2 years, he's done more good for the Mets organization than bad. I just think fans don't really see the big picture of what a good general manager does.
What good?
That's just my opinion.
What good?
What good has David Stearns done in 2 years as Mets general manager?
What has been so good? The building of the rotation in the first year?
No, when he took over, they had a bottom 10 farm system in the MLB. They now have a top 10 farm system. Well, I think it was
Wait. What additions? I mean, the big trades that brought in some of the big prospects were the year before he got here.
None of the Mets' top prospects are guys that brought in the trades. Acuna, Clifford, those guys are not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Benjes of the world, who was his first draft pick he made last year, is now the number one pick in the organization. Mm-hmm. And I think part of what makes a good general manager is being able to not diminish the farm system for unnecessary guys. And I think he had an awful year last year.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100% willing to say it. But I think the over-exaggeration of the hate for this guy comes from a impatience that I think we were promised with Cohen, not understanding that Stearns is here for the bigger picture, not necessarily the immediate move.
I do think that's fair. And I wanted to hear your point. And I agree with you. But you're going to say that he's done more good. I wanted to hear an example. And I think you're right. I think part of it is building a farm system. I think part of it is understanding you need these pitching depth guys. Now, again, McClain wasn't, he did not bring in McClain. He is in here for the long haul. But he's also got to win now. You don't get to have the long haul. Like, that's maybe just a misunderstanding between part of this fan base and with him. Like, look, yes, you want to build a sustained product for sustained winning, no doubt. But you can't have the largest payroll in the game. You can't be the New York Mets and go out and get Juan Soto and then turn around and say, well, it's a long game. No, it's not. It's both. It's both winning now and the long game. And it starts right now. 888-808-1019. We'll get into the Knicks as they are currently playing the Toronto Raptors in the quarterfinals of the NBA Cup on Amazon. We'll get to a little bit of football as well, as I think the Giants are in a tough spot now that they have the first overall pick, and whether or not how they handle that the rest of the year of a dead season is interesting to me. We'll get to the Jets as well. We'll talk a little bit more about the Yankees and what they should do in the rotation now that we really have an understanding of how severe the Rodon injury was, although they do expect him back. What do they do? And we're still waiting for the Yankees to do something, and it is still the winter meetings, and we'll see if we get any more news coming out of Orlando. 888-808-1019. Quick break, update, come back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.